If you're hearing this, it means tickets are now on sale for our streaming Cybactacular.
That's what we're calling the streaming show of our Star Trek V review that we toured last year. We filmed our Hollywood show, and it's going to be streaming on Thursday, May 16th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And the stream will be available for a couple of weeks after that. If you can't watch right at the premiere time. A couple of pieces of information about this. If you support us at MaximumFun.org/join and your membership is current, check your email inbox because Maximum Fun will have emailed you a promo code to get $5 off your ticket. And also, we have some VIP packages available that include a meet and greet with me and Adam. Those are going fast, so jump on that if you want a meet and greet VIP package. Again, it's greatestgentour.com to get your tickets for the streaming Cybactacular.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet.
Engage.
Welcome to The Greatest Generation, Star Trek podcast by two guys who are a little bit embarrassed to have a Star Trek podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Adam Pranica.
I am unfortunately your other host, Ben Harrison.
Sounds so sad about that, Ben.
Well, I'm just still like kind of, you know, even though we're three seasons in, the embarrassment is real, man.
Ben, I think occasionally I like to open the kimono a little bit on this podcast for our viewers.
Show them a little nuck?
Yeah. Show them what we're dealing with.
Uh-huh.
And I just went upstairs to get some podcast fluid for our show today.
Sure.
And happened upon the thermostat, which says 87 degrees in the house.
Woo.
We're in the middle of a heat wave right now in Seattle, and it's pretty rough.
Is it a tropical heat wave?
Well,
did you start the heat wave by making your seat wave?
I could really use a tiki drink, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, that would be nice. I have been having a tiki drink lifestyle around my house this summer. I bought some passion fruits for something else recently, and I had enough of them around where I was like coming home at the end of a day and making like a cocktail for myself that had 18 ingredients, including fresh passion fruit pulp. And I was like,
wow,
this is fucking great.
You're taking yourself out on a little date there, Ben?
Yeah.
That's nice.
It's a lot like that event in Las Vegas that we did not get invited to.
Well, I bet you're drinking better drinks than those.
Yeah.
Those drinks were probably served in a plastic tiki glass, unlike yours.
You have
great glassware.
I have tip-top glassware. Speaking of glassware... Should we start the episode?
This is becoming a speech.
You're the captain, sir. You're entitled.
Not entitled to ramble on about something everyone knows.
Yeah, let's keep our intro brief. Let's really get into this one. This is season 3, episode 15, Yesterday's Enterprise.
And speaking of glassware, Worf is hunched over a table in 10 forward. This is the table that Data played Stratagema at.
Yeah, best table in 10 forward.
Yeah, this is like best seat in the house. Worf is in a real mood from the look of it. Guinan comes up, puts a brown beverage in front of him. This is like one of the most memorable scenes from the entire series for me.
It's an earth drink. Prune juice.
Warrior's drink.
This is comedy that we've been mining for the entire run of our podcast.
It's true. We love making fun of olds.
Yeah, man. This shit made me laugh so hard as a kid. It still makes me laugh. I think Michael Dorn's performance in this is hilarious. I think that Guinan is hilarious in this. And it's one of the few moments when we get to see Worf laugh. Without it being like a joke about Worf not laughing that much, you know?
He laughs as loud as he sneezes.
Totally.
Real loud.
Shakes the shit.
Tell you what, though. Worf drinks a lot of that prune juice.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be having some warrior shit. The conversation he's having with Guinan is... Guinan's all like, you know, Worf, you should really start spending some time with some females on the ship. I think it'd be good for you. And Worf says, I don't think these women here could handle me.
Right.
Too much of a rowdy player in the bedroom.
This line, I feel like, is almost directly recycled from a season one or two exchange of a very similar kind.
Yeah, I agree. It was familiar territory, but I like the idea of Guinan doing work on Worf a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, she picks people to do some bartender doctoring, you know?
Totally.
Like she has the power to manipulate and to counsel like any good bartender. And I think it's cool to see her do that. You don't get to see her do it too often.
Yeah, she's not just back in the office flicking the old bean. She's out there managing the mental health of certain members of the crew.
She doesn't make her case especially well because I don't think Worf comes around to the idea at all.
Yeah, well, she doesn't have much time because they look up at a certain point and there's a big butthole in space. And Worf is called up to the bridge moments after they notice this.
They run a scan on the butthole. They search its rim and its interior. It appears to have neither. It's really throwing their sensors all off kilter. You know, like most space buttholes of this type, it appears to have something to do with the space-time continuum. Ben, this is a concept that you're a big, big fan of in Star Trek, right?
Yeah, this is a rift in time, and they start to get a different reading off of it, and something is coming through the rift, like a catcher coming through the rye.
Exactly like that.
Yeah, and what should come through but a slightly older-looking model of a similar type of starship? It is the Enterprise C, and we're close on Picard's face when this happens, and there's this crazy blurring, blending effect, and suddenly the bridge just feels different. It's darker. There's different, you know, color choices in the wall and floor treatments. There's extra tactical stations everywhere.
Everyone's wearing dustbusters.
Everybody's wearing a silver belt with the dustbuster in it.
Picard has been un-Malibu'd. He's become paler and more serious. Like he's aged, it looks like.
And they all look a little eviler. Like, I think it's what they did with the collars. Like, the collars, instead of having a little notch in the front, like where you would zip it up, presumably, they just go, they're flat all the way across, and it somehow makes them look kind of sinister in a way.
Sinister turtlenecks.
Yeah, everybody has a new uniform, and like Wesley is in like a full like crew uniform. He's not in his like pajama uniform. And Worf and Troy are not there, but Tasha Yar is.
And she is rocking the slick back hairdo, which can mean she has been close to death.
Yes, she's loved and lost in this timeline.
So Yar's done the scan on the ship, and she calls out its call sign and reads those as slow as possible.
Yeah.
For maximum dramatic effect.
Totally. We come to understand that they actually have some concerns in that respect, because this is a version of the Star Trek universe in which the Federation has been in a bloody war with the Klingons for like 25 years or something. And they're like really worried at all times about the possibility that a Klingon ship will show up and start picking a fight with them. Yeah, and we see all the different sets all over the ship. And it's like, what if the Enterprise was a warship and not a ship of exploration? They didn't do anything to the outside of the ship. Like the model of the ship is the same. But the bridge is very differently configured. Even 10 forward is really different. It's more warlike. And we see a few new sets as well, like different parts of the ship where Guinan and Picard have meetings are like, everything is more tactical, more functional, and darker.
Yeah, it's darker everywhere, but what light there is really hard light, right?
Yeah, the lighting in this episode is basically as good as we have ever seen.
Yeah.
So the Enterprise C is toe up.
Looks like they had a rough ride.
Every time we get close to the model, you see that there's like tons of scorch marks on it and chunks bitten out of it.
So the tension is huge for a couple of reasons, right?
Yeah.
The Enterprise is poo-bearing around with its pants down, just kind of waiting to be attacked by Klingons. And then the Enterprise-C is totally defenseless and far from its own time. It's pretty heady. They understand the consequences of polluting a timeline.
Yeah. It always makes me so upset when Winnie the Pooh gets attacked by Klingons.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's the same crew, so, like, they are going to be cognizant of a time-space continuum issue in the same way that they would be, but they're warriors, too. Like, they're thinking about the Klingons, and so they see this as, like, potentially an opportunity, because they're like, hey, like, this isn't a great ship, but it's a ship, and we could use one, you know, if we're going to throw things into the Klingon wood chipper, like, here's one more thing. And so they're like,
you have 9 hours. If you can get her underway by then, we'll escort her to Starbase 105. If not, we'll evacuate the survivors and destroy the ship.
And so they're like, they beam over to the bridge of this other ship, and everybody has blood coming out of their heads.
It's real smoky, like someone left their popcorn in the microwave at the office.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad over there, and everyone's doing that lean over their console. That's how you know they're dead, right? A lot of girders and beams down.
Yeah, if your bridge set falls apart, you're going to want to reinforce it with a nice, thick girder, a strong duranium beam going across the center of the bridge.
The away team, as soon as they get over there, they meet Captain Garrett, captain of the Enterprise-C, and the first information they give her is, oh, the rest of the bridge crew's dead. You got to come with us.
Yeah, and they're like real cryptic the whole time about what ship they're from. Like, she just kind of takes their word for it that they're from the Federation, they're here to help, and they keep saying, like, we're from a Federation starship. There's a lot of concern about revealing too much about what's going on to the other ship, which I feel like maybe sells another crew in the Federation short. Like, if the D crew can handle this being a time issue, why shouldn't the C crew be able to handle that? Like, they're the fucking flagship of their time. Like,
are they not cut from the same cloth?
Right, they're probably the best and the brightest of the era from which they come, which is not like that deep in the past. So a weird choice, and they sort of abandon it once Captain Garrett wakes up. She's pretty hip to the scheme that she's not in the timeline that she's used to.
She comes to in Six Bay, and Picard sort of goes to her bedside, and that's where he reveals the truth of the situation.
Yeah,
she's like, I've never seen a sick bay like this before. Look at all this Barbicide in these different colored jars, and
look at the wig on your doctor. Oh my God,
yeah. Pretty incredible, right? And Picard's like,
you have come 22 years into the future.
And Garrett replies that,
we were responding to a distress call from the Klingon outpost on Narendra 3.
They were up to the same type of shit that the Enterprise-D gets up to, which is they heard a distress signal and they ran toward it as fast as they could to see what was up. And then their era's version of Tomalak started destroyifying them. So, like, they literally came through this butthole, like, at the last moment for their ship because, like, everybody was passing out. And I guess the idea is that in some way, the explosions of the Romulan torpedoes hitting them caused the rift in time.
Look, Ben.
Yes.
It's dark. It's loud. You're disoriented. Things are going every which way. Stuff's exploding sometimes.
Yeah.
You can see how someone would accidentally go into a butthole in that situation.
Lord knows I've done it.
It happens to the best captains.
It is a guiding principle of a Starfleet base. Have you can't find it within yourself to stand up, tell the truth. You don't deserve to wear that uniform.
Well, speaking of holes, on the bridge, as they're trying to pick up all the pieces, Shooter McGavin comes climbing out.
You know what would be great? If I could get a Pepsi.
I guess he was, like, hiding under a desk or something.
Yeah.
Not really sure. Or was he in a Jeffrey's tube?
I think they lifted off a piece of metal from him, and he dusts himself off, and he is Helmsman Castillo.
Yeah.
And, boy, he just has a lantern jaw on him, doesn't he?
Oh, my God. This guy is fun to look at.
Just a great looking dude.
Yeah. Easy on the eyes in every way possible. He's got kind of a curly slick back.
Yeah.
And he and Yar fall in with each other pretty quickly.
Yeah, zombie Tasha really takes notice.
Yeah. They're fast friends, and they're like the same rank, and she's a tactical officer, and he's a helmsman, and it's real cute. It's a meet cute.
Yeah, it's nice. They're able to find love in the middle of war.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they've sort of pieced together the timeline. You know, the Enterprise C was not listed as ever having been in a battle with Romulans or Klingons in their history books, but they realized that this battle that the C was coming from when it slipped into the butt was very specifically kind of an inciting incident in this war with the Klingons. And like, if the C had either succeeded in defending the outpost, you know, or they'd all died in the process of defending it, the Klingons would have seen that as like an act of great honor and would have had more respect for the Federation and maybe wouldn't have gone to war in the first place. So they have some weird feelings about the fact that they're here. And Picard pretty quickly like lays the entire war at Captain Garrett's feet.
One more ship will make no difference in the here and now. But 22 years ago, one ship could have stopped this war before it started.
The way he lays out the story in this alternate timeline, they're fucked. Everyone's fucked.
The war is going very badly for the Federation, far worse than is generally known.
Like, if I told everyone how badly it was going, people would get off this ship.
Right. They would just go out the airlock. They'd be so right. Freaked out.
They're going to lose this war. They're going to be either killed or enslaved by the Klingons in a matter of months.
Yeah. And not the kind of like fun, you know, cops and robbers in your underpants kind of slave type thing that Picard is into.
Right.
This is non-consensual slavery.
It's the worst kind, Ben. Without this moment, it doesn't make any sense to send the ship back. You need this scene.
Yeah.
Otherwise, sending the ship back is ridiculous.
Is
so this is the underpinning of the entire decision. And either it's the 1B or the B storyline is Guinan's relationship with Captain Picard.
Yeah.
So we saw her in the cold open, but she sprinkled throughout the episode as someone who is able to sense that the timeline that they exist in is not right. And her relationship with Picard is such that she can walk onto the bridge during a situation like this and get the captain's ear. She can call a meeting with him and tell him some crazy shit.
I can't explain it to myself, so I can't explain it to you. I only know that I'm right.
Stuff that if she was not Guinan and if he wasn't Picard and if they didn't have that relationship would not fly.
Right. Like, you have to really respect the bond of trust that these two characters have, given the whoppers that she's laying on him. Because she's like, I don't really have any evidence to back this up, but the timeline is wrong. Tasha Yar should be dead. Everything is not as it should be. And the only way to solve this is by sending all 100 and whatever people on this other ship to their deaths.
Right. And so not long after this conversation with Guinan, Picard calls a McLaughlin group and he's like, all right, here's the plan. We got to send him back because I think it's important. And I think one ship in the past could make more of a difference than two ships in the present. And that's my decision. And it's final. And his senior staff are appropriately confused by this.
Wait, you're listening to the lady with the crazy hats?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, all of them have their moment to argue with Picard, and he's like, no, this actually isn't a meeting that we're going to go back and forth on. This is a meeting where I brief you.
Right.
And that's how it's going to be.
And it's interesting, like, the next time he checks in with Captain Garrett, like, she tells him, like, yeah, like, most of my crew is actually pretty keen on getting back as well. Like, we don't feel right here, and we kind of want to go, like, do what we were supposed to do.
I mean, I guess they're just choosing which hopeless situation is best. I think given the news Picard gave them, they know they're not long for this timeline. They're certainly not long for the butthole timeline.
Right.
And if they have a chance to make their demise matter in some way, they're going to choose the butthole.
Well, that's sort of the question that I had watching this episode was, did Picard truly believe Guinan, or was the story that she was telling him that they could unmake this war so seductive to him that he wanted to try, like he wanted to believe in it so bad that he just kind of fell in love with the idea of changing history and kind of, he kind of threw rationality out the window.
It comes down to the trust you have in someone. Like, is there anyone in either of our lives that could tell us a story like Guinan's and we would take it at face value? It'd be really hard.
Yeah. Well,
and yet
one of the privileges of not living in the 24th century, I guess.
Sure. But I think you bring up a great point, and that is, do we know enough about Guinan and Guinan's relationship with Picard to make this a credible moment in their story?
Yeah.
Like, this is the most significant moment in their relationship to the viewer, because he makes such a huge decision based on her intuition. And nothing like this has happened before now.
And at some point he's asked to back his decision up, and he says that there's no logic in it at all. Like, that's a direct quote.
Yeah.
And I felt like that could be like the tagline for the whole episode.
I've considered the alternatives. I'll go with Guinan's recommendation. Dismissed.
I feel like at that moment, Riker could have taken command and relieved him on the spot. I don't know how a crew follows that order.
Right.
It's kind of incredible.
Banana cakes. But yeah. Everybody gets on board.
My love is a fever, long in jail for that, which longer nurses the disease.
They get the crew onto the Enterprise C. Like, it's fixed up enough to make a go of going back when a Klingon bird of prey comes out of nowhere and starts lighting everybody up. And for some reason, the Klingons are kind of focusing their attack on the weaker of the two ships. And so,
that doesn't seem very honorable to me.
Yeah, that's a dick move. And the Enterprise D is able to like get a couple of good phaser shots at this thing, but it cloaks and it's gone before they're able to destroy it.
Unfortunately, in this attack, Captain Garrett takes a throwing star to the dome. And she did.
Yeah. Now, if you have a construction accident, you should always have the number of the authorities on hand at any construction site.
Now, in any OSHA-approved bridge environment, you're going to want to wear a hard hat.
Yeah. I like a fiberglass hard hat with the logo of my show on it.
Oh, boy. Oldie but goodie.
Yeah. And so this is, like, not great news, because basically the one person that they could trust to, like, make a good show of this fight with the Klingons has bought the farm.
It really hurts, because you know her for all of, I don't know, 10 minutes? And she's a great character. I really liked her.
She really sold that she was the captain of the Enterprise. Like, she,
yeah.
Like, that is an amazing achievement.
Yeah.
Like, I think Patrick Stewart did that in about 6 episodes. She did it in 20 minutes.
She is so much better of a captain than Cameron from the Enterprise B. So much more. So the highest ranking Enterprise C crewman is, wouldn't you know it, Helmsman Castillo.
I've worked hard my whole life, paid my dues, and now it's shooter's turn.
Yeah, he's the last man standing with a commission.
Which is just bonkers.
Yeah.
And he wants to keep the mission going, right?
Yeah, especially bonkers because he eats pieces of shit for breakfast.
No.
He wants to continue with the plan, but they have more repairs to make now that they've taken a couple of super advanced Klingon disruptor hits, you know. Like, they're armed for a quarter of a century ago. And
yeah.
And so they're back to trying to fix this ship up and get it ship shape for heading back through the rift. And so now they've got like a ticking clock, because if this Klingon ship got away, they know that it would have alerted the Klingon High Command, and you know, whatever's coming next is not going to be as easy to repel as one little ship.
After the captain of the Enterprise C dies, there's sort of a leadership vacuum, call it.
Yeah.
On the Enterprise C, a vacuum that Tasha Yar wants to fill.
I request a transfer to the Enterprise C.
She has a conversation with Guinan after getting some weird looks from her earlier. Yeah. And Guinan's like, girl, you aren't even supposed to be here. And watch this scene again. Denise Crosby does some capital A acting here. She's doing things that aren't on the page.
Right.
Things here that really gave me some feels. Like,
yeah, and I feel like
non-dialogue stuff.
It's almost especially interesting given the fact that she sort of wanted off this show as an actor. And yeah. I think that she had been given some bad stuff, some bad text to deal with, some bad lines to deliver in the past. But
it was only natural to want off this show at the time she wanted.
Right. Like, but she comes back.
I don't fault her for that at all.
She comes back and she is totally chewing the scenery.
I can see it in your eyes, Guinan. We've known each other too long.
We weren't meant to know each other at all.
She does great in this scene and also all of her scenes with Castillo, the helmsman.
Right. Yeah, they have great chemistry.
Yeah, you really feel it. You know, it made me really miss her. Like, I had gotten used to her being gone for a couple of seasons, but seeing her again and seeing how great her character was in such a short amount of time, like,
yeah,
man, they really redeemed her.
And Guinan is, like, not really able to give any kind of detail about the timeline that she perceives them to have, you know, come from, like, where they're supposed to be. But she does tell Yar that the death that she died in that timeline was meaningless and empty. And that's like a heavy thing to lay on Yar. And so that motivates her to like want to take over at Tactical on the Enterprise C so that she can, like, if she knows she's going to be dead either way, she, like the rest of the Enterprise C, she wants it to mean something. And because the captain has died, it kind of makes sense for her to go there.
It has to be in this order, though. Like, Picard has to believe before Tasha believes, because Picard has the benefit of his relationship with Guinan as being, like, sealed. Like,
right.
Guinan is utterly credible to him. She will always be believed. To Yar, she doesn't have that benefit. Like, it is really going out on a limb to believe her, but she does.
Yeah,
but she also feels like something's off, too. Like, it's not just Guinan in that scene. Like, she's feeling a little spacey about it
in her
own right.
Well, and it's especially interesting because Guinan became a character on the show after Yar was gone, so...
Yeah, they were never supposed to know each other.
Yarmouk and Jalad at Tanagra.
Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. Every mom I have ever given an Aura Frame to has absolutely loved it. And that includes a lot of moms I know. This is a gift that I have personally given many, many times. And it's great. I can upload photos from my phone the moment I take them, and that means that mom or grandma out there is going to get pictures of their loved ones delivered to their living room. And right now, Aura is having a great sale for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com and use the code SCARVS at checkout to show your support for our show. Terms and conditions apply. Mother's Day is coming up, and one of the best gifts you can give a mom that you might share a bed with is doing some yard work downstairs, if you know what I mean, with Manscaped. This season, make sure you groom your carpets and your drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVS at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in your pants to let the mother of your children know how much you appreciate her continuing to put up with you.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to, oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
They get on the long-range sensors, they discover that three attack cruisers are headed toward them, and they're not even bothering to cloak. They're, like, brimming with confidence that they're going to be able to take the Enterprises out. And so they get the Enterprise-C, like, back operational just in time to, like, start going through the rift. And the D has to kind of, like, stand in between it and the Klingons and try and stave off this attack.
Enterprise C approaches the butthole in, like, very slow.
Yeah, man, it is moving slow motion.
As you should, but still.
Right.
Like, they're trying to survive.
Yeah, I mean, just put a little bit of personal lubricant, you know, make sure it's compatible with whatever form of protection you're using.
I would recommend sticking a probe in first.
Yeah.
To check it out.
Yeah.
And then you drive the ship in.
Mm-hmm. This is such a weird scene to me, because for as much tension as they've built through this episode, this battle scene is so slow. Like, every time they cut to, like, out exteriors of the ships moving around, they're just moving slow motion. Like, the Klingon ships are moving slow. Both Enterprises are moving slow. It seems like it takes, like, 20 minutes for them to turn the Enterprise D around, which is, like, they've turned it around much quicker in previous episodes. I don't know why it's taking so long.
I didn't pick up on that. I didn't get that feeling.
It just seems slow to me. I mean, there's some exciting stuff with it lighting the Klingon ships up. You know, like, you see, like, three or four laser beams coming out of it at once. And that was cool. But
to Enterprise D's credit, like, it blows up one of the Klingon ships. Not before Riker takes a throwing star to his neck.
Yeah.
Like, shit's just popping off on the Enterprise D bridge, and they're not long for this world. Like, they're getting the shit kicked out of them.
Picard has to, like, vault over the tactical station to go back and operate the weapons.
Yeah, he Dukes of Hazzards over the horseshoe.
Yeah, no time for backup! It's pretty clear that the D is, like, about to get taken out when we see the C going finally into the butthole. Like, it's, you know, there's, like, a very wide shot of the two Klingon ships converging from either side of the Enterprise D, cut to C entering the butthole, and then cut to Picard's face going, like, what was that little thing that we just saw out there?
Yeah, and Worf's like, well, we momentarily saw something, but I guess it was nothing.
And he's like, well,
as you were.
Well, leave a class one butt plug here to monitor the situation, just in case. And the episode ends with Guinan sitting down in 10 Forward asking Geordi to, like, tell her about Tasha Yar.
That was a real nice ending.
Yeah. I mean, a quick little scene, but super evocative.
You can really do a lot with just a single line, and they've done it a couple of times, this season especially, like, doing a lot of character building with just a single line of dialogue.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
There's a lot to like in this episode, Adam. And as much antipathy as I have toward time travel scenarios in Star Trek, I think that this is Star Trek time travel at its best. You know, it it still doesn't make any sense. Like, it's very easy to punch holes in it. Like, okay, if we're in an alternate timeline now, then why would changing the past alter this timeline or make it into the other timeline? Like, what are the mechanics of that? How does Yar reappearing in the current timeline and then going back to the previous timeline mechanically work? How does that not break the universe?
To enjoy science fiction at all means suspending some amount of disbelief, though.
I guess so. I mean, but I think some of the fun of it is like the plausibility of of the sci-fi, and I have a tough time lending any plausibility to this kind of stuff. But the way it's executed is so top tier that it's easy for me to forgive in this episode.
It feels like the show has become fully formed in this episode. All of the characters are acting based on information we've been given up until now. Like, the effects are first rate.
Yeah.
You're feeling things that you're supposed to feel.
Wesley's haircut looks okay.
Yeah. You know what? There were a couple of things different in the alternate timeline that really had a big effect. One, no Chief O'Brien in the alternate timeline. Two, Wesley has great hair. And I think if you're Wesley Crusher, you're a little bit sad to send the Enterprise-C back through the butthole because you're back to the bouffant.
Yeah. I did miss Troy. Yeah. I guess their idea was that it didn't make sense for there to be a touchy-feely person in a warship scenario. But I don't know. I thought it would have been interesting to have her in the mix. I feel like they could have figured out a way to make that work.
This was a great Guinan episode.
Totally.
It makes me, every time they give Guinan anything to do, I just want more and more of it.
Yeah.
Makes me want to ask you a question, though.
What's that?
In the Deuce Ex Machina power rankings, do you move Guinan up a little bit? Do you move her up above Q and Kevin Uxbridge? Because she demonstrates some shit. Like, she can exist out of time. I'm not sure if Q can do that.
Yeah. Where was she when Kevin Uxbridge was around? Was she not in that episode?
I don't think so. He never went to the bar.
Seems like she would have been wise to his shit, right?
You imagine Kevin Uxbridge and Ten Forward ordering drinks?
Guinan, I would like a very specific drink.
Guinan, I'm not sure you've heard of this cocktail. It's called a shiksh on the beach.
It's called a slippery nipple. It's based on the rubber that I used to make the nipple on my wife.
Oh, man. Yeah. You get that one interaction between Guinan and Q last season.
Right.
But there are very few interactions between these ultimate characters.
Yeah.
I could go for a little bit more of that, right?
Yeah.
Because it's hard to rate them without that.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, somebody will have to figure out who would win in a fight.
I mean, I think for the long term, we know Kevin wins.
Yeah. Obviously. Adam, I believe we have a message coming in over subspace.
Oh, I also got that flashing red light on my dash. Want to pull over and listen?
Let's pull it over.
Priority one message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
Need a supplemental income.
Supplemental income?
Supplemental.
Supplemental.
Yeah, it's extra.
By the interest alone, could be enough to buy this ship.
This Priority One message comes to us from Membrane Software, who invites our viewers to download and play the Star Commander video game. This is a completely free game with no ads or in-app purchases. That's like the best kind of game, Ben.
Yeah, I think it's one of those kind of pay what you think it's worth type of deals.
Right.
Did you ever play Escape Velocity when you were a kid?
I don't know. Was that a Sega Genesis game?
No, it was a Mac game. Uh-huh. It may have been on PC as well, but it was like a fly your ship around the galaxy. And I got total Escape Velocity vibes when I went to the membranesoftware.com page and took a look at what this game looked like. It looks really cool.
Yeah. It feels like a throwback space video game in the best possible way.
Yeah, like back when you go on a shareware downloading website and get some shareware.
Sure.
Remember shareware?
Vaguely.
So here's the copy. Have you ever wondered what it's like to build a fleet of spaceships, explore the galaxy, and wage interstellar war? Star Commander is a video game that gives you a chance to try it out. Deploy fleets and build star bases to gain control over galactic resources. Assign the best officers to your starships and guide them in combat to achieve victory. Bam, 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 bam. I like a game where you get to decide whether or not it sucks and then pay also, because
yeah.
I have so many like examples of a time where I paid like $25 for a game for my PlayStation and just completely hated it, even though it was well reviewed. And so this is like, you know, you have nothing to lose. If you like the game, which we gander you might, given that it is made by Greatest Gen viewers.
Sure.
You know, throw them a couple of shekels.
Yeah, and this whole deal with Membrane Software is that they say we want people to use our software and monetary barriers get in the way of that. Therefore, we don't place a cost on anything. Play the games, decide what their value is to you, and then give us a little bit of a tip. That's sort of like our model for podcasting, right?
I love it.
Yeah. Anyway, visit membranesoftware.com on your PC or Mac to download and play Star Commander. It's completely free, as we said, with no ads or in-app purchases.
Yeah, looks like they even have a Linux version.
It's got all the versions.
Yeah.
All the versions you could ever need. Our thanks to Membrane Software for helping to support Greatest Generation.
We have another personal message on the Jumbotron. It is from future Tom Regan. Reagan? Regan? And it is to present day Tom Regan. And the message is, we require you to proceed with the secondary penis. Please respond. This is the second time in a row that I feel like people mainly just want to contribute to our show.
Yeah, which I am more than happy to accept.
But there is a possibility that this is legit and it's actually being sent from the future, which is pretty exciting.
Ben, I have so many questions.
Yeah.
I mean, what does secondary mean in this context? Is it an additional penis or is it a replacement penis for a future damaged penis?
Right. And I mean, what's the time travel mechanic at play here? Is it like in Looper where you can, you know, send somebody into the past and kill them? Or is it like in Yesterday's Enterprise when you can like send a ship back and avert a war?
This message is specific to a body part in a way that, like, the way Data tries to destroy his own body parts.
Yeah.
Like, what's Tom Regan doing with his penis in the future?
Yeah.
Whatever it is, it seems pretty dangerous.
Yeah, he's into sticking it into places where it might get... it might slip into another dimension.
Well, I think if present Tom Regan had a message for future Tom Regan, it might be, hey, future Tom, why don't you cool out with the penis stuff.
Yeah.
Sounds dangerous, whatever you're into.
Yeah. Well, present-day Tom Regan, I feel like you have a lot to think about, and maybe this will guide the decisions you make going forward.
Yeah. I think it's given us a lot to think about.
Yeah.
All of us.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Tom Regans, both future and present, for your support of The Greatest Generation.
Yeah, thanks. And if you listening at home would like to send a Priority One message, go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. Personal messages are $100, and corporate or business-based messages are $200. And it helps us keep the lights on around here.
We don't change the prices based on if those messages are going to future versions or past versions.
Oh, yeah. What about, like, inflation?
It's one low, low price.
Yeah. We're getting the short end of the deal here.
Yeah. Future Tom paid for this one in scarves. Hey, Ben.
What's that, Adam?
Did you find yourself in this timeline or any other timeline a drunk Shimoda?
Drunk Shimoda!
I'm going to have to give it to Shooter McGavin.
No.
He definitely, like, falls for Yar, and they have a great, like, on-screen kiss, and then she kind of surprises him by showing up on his bridge and saying, like, I'm going to go die in battle with you guys. And he very half-heartedly tries to convince her not to. I was just like, dude, this shit is super transparent.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a tough episode to find a drunk Shimoda in, but that was my drunk Shimoda. How about yourself?
I am also going to give it to Castillo, but for a different reason.
Oh, I love it when this happens.
All right. So the
is it because he eats pieces of shit for breakfast?
No.
He might as well be with the amount of hubris he shows. So check it out. Castillo is the last surviving bridge crewman from the Enterprise C.
Yes.
Tasha Yar is a lieutenant commander. Let's just say she is. Let's say it doesn't matter what her rank is. She has future experience. She is from 24 years in the future.
Right.
They stick her over on the Enterprise C and makes fucking Captain Shooter McGavin.
Those are the rules. I didn't write them.
That makes no sense at all.
Yeah.
If I'm Shooter McGavin, I'm begging Tasha Yar to be the captain of the Enterprise C. Like, all your future tactical skills have got to be amazing compared to my stupid helmsman skills, which are going to serve me exactly zero against attacking Romulan ships.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, that part to me, like, it would have been a small tweak to the story that wouldn't have meant a whole lot, but credibility-wise,
yeah,
Tasha's got to be captain in that moment. And not only does she have to be captain, Castillo needs to make that happen.
Right.
Castillo needs to insist that he's not, because that's just dumb. He can be captain in the chin department, but no others. No other categories.
Yeah, he definitely can't be captain in the slickback department when Yar is walking around.
I know. I am the cutest of all. There are four lights. Hey, Ben.
What's that, Adam?
What episode are we watching next time?
The next episode is Season 3, Episode 16, The Offspring. Data becomes a father when he creates an android using a transfer of his own neural programming. Do you remember that episode?
Ben, the gravity of the usage of my veto this season has has fully bloomed, because this is one of the episodes I hated most of all the episodes.
It's another example. Like, I feel like this happened last season with the when they unveiled the Borgs. The episode right after it was just a real lighthearted turkey of an episode.
Yeah.
Yesterday's Enterprise is so, like, stakes is high, and, like, it's like a totally, like, huge, fully realized episode with different sets and different costumes, and then they're just going to follow it up with, like, what if Data was able to reproduce?
This is as low as it gets for me. I really don't like this episode. When it's come on reruns in syndication, like, I will go find something else to do, and typically I will watch any Next Gen episode.
Yeah, wow.
This is on Mount Artemis for me. Without having seen it since I saw it the first time, not looking forward to this.
Okay, well, that's the next episode we're watching, because neither of us has vetoes to use.
I know. It's all my fault, Ben.
Well, you can tweet at us using the hashtag GreatestGen. Adam is at Cut for Time. I'm at Benjamin R on Twitter. And we're on there all the time, goofing off and talking about Trek. You can go to our subreddit. I think it's greatestgen.reddit.com is a way to get there.
r/greatestgen.
Yeah. You can also go to the Maximum Fun subreddit. And there's also Facebook groups aplenty for you to get involved with.
We're basically on all the social media except Snapchat.
Yeah.
I don't think you'd like what you saw if we were to be on Snapchat. It'd be disgusting.
One really cool thing that happens with our show is that our listeners go to MaximumFun.org/donate, and they step up and they support our show with their own hard-earned money. If you feel that this show is worth listening to, perhaps you feel it is worth supporting financially, we hugely appreciate everybody that is involved with that part of it.
We are professional podcasters, Ben. I think you can taste the difference.
Yeah, and our viewers help us make the show. People that support get to listen and know that this partly exists because of them.
It's the truth. I think we would have quit long ago. I would quit before The Offspring. This would be a great time for me to bail out. But now I'm obligated.
Yeah. Well, we should thank Dark Materia for our theme music and Adam Ragusea for our Priority One music. And with that, we will be back at you next week with another great episode of Star Trek The Next Generation and an offspring episode of The Greatest Generation.
He's got it in the chim. He can be che. Fuck. He can get. Take three.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.